The Doctrine of Scripture, an Introduction, Mark D. Thompson, Crossway, 2022, 206 pages, a brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents, Introduction, How do we give an account of the Doctrine of Scripture? Chapter 1, Jesus and Scripture, the Christian Starting Point for Understanding Revelation and the Bible. Chapter 2, The Speaking God. Chapter 3, From the Speech of God to the Word of God Written. Chapter 4, The Character of Scripture, Part 1, Clarity and Truthfulness. Chapter 5, The Character of Scripture, Part 2, Sufficiency and Efficacy. Chapter 6, Reading the Bible as a Follower of Jesus. Summary, Introduction, How do we give an account of the Doctrine of Scripture? The Bible has always had a vital place in the life of the church and individual believers, and throughout history, Christians have been known as people of the book. No other book is the more widely discussed or written about. It is treasured, reviled, loved, and hated. The Christian doctrine of Scripture arises from the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ and the apostles, Scripture was authoritative, and it provided the context for understanding God and the gospel. Jesus' self-identity was drawn from the Old Testament. There is no distinction between the authority of Jesus and the authority of Scripture. The two go together. In order to take the person of the Word incarnate seriously, we need to take His Word seriously. Since God breathed out His Word, if we ignore Scripture, we ignore the Spirit. As Christians, our doctrine of Scripture should start with Christ, paying careful attention to His person, words, and specific teachings about Scripture. It is true that we discover Jesus' attitude towards Scripture only in the pages of Scripture. But whenever we appeal to an ultimate authority, there is an unavoidable level of circularity. God's Word was written over centuries by numerous authors, but there is an incredible unity and coherence in the whole. The New Testament reveals how Christ is the fulfillment of the Old, and there is a continuity between the Testaments. There is perfect complementarity between the biblical books, and they demonstrate a deep unity, but with a great diversity of emphasis and perspectives. Scripture is self-authenticating as the testimony of the Spirit, and an appeal to Scripture is an appeal to the authority of God Himself. In formulating a systematic doctrine of Scripture, biblical theology is an indispensable guide for helping us track the context and progress of God's revelation about His Word. Our doctrine of Scripture is ultimately grounded in the triune God. It has a Christocentric character. God's self-revelation flows from His relational nature, the same nature that explains creation and redemption. It is the Word of God, and it is sufficient for God's purposes in revealing Himself to us. Theology and apologetics are both important, but in a systematic theological approach to the doctrine of Scripture, we do not try to answer every apologetic question. Chapter 1, Jesus and Scripture. God is most clearly known and revealed in the person of His incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Son through whom the Father primarily relates to us, and it is in Him that we have the embodied fullness of the Father's revelation. Jesus' attitude towards the Scriptures is the attitude that we must have as well. We must therefore pay careful attention to how Jesus stands at the center of our doctrine of Scripture. In the Gospels, we find that Jesus appeared to Scripture as the final authority in disputes and in resisting temptations. Unlike Adam and Israel, Jesus resisted temptation by obeying God's word. When Jesus explained His own identity and the significance of His ministry, He appealed to Scripture. He knew He was fulfilling God's word. Jesus Himself saw that it was necessary for Him to experience certain things, including the cross, in order for Scripture to find fulfillment. Jesus explicitly identified Scripture as the Word of God. If Scripture said something, it was to be taken as the voice of God Himself. Christ did not see Himself as contradicting God's Word, but rather fulfilling it and bringing out its true meaning. The link between Jesus, the Word of God, and Scripture as the Word of God is unbreakable and mutually illuminating. In the teaching of Jesus, it was clear that He held to a double agency of the authorship of Scripture. David, Moses, and others wrote Scripture, but God was the primary author who filled them with the Spirit so that they wrote precisely the words God wanted. Jesus' appeal to Scripture always assumed that it was intelligible and that its meaning was clear. Those with a humble heart and a desire to know the truth can read Scripture and understand its meaning. Those with hard hearts do not receive the word, and believers only grasp it through the work of the Holy Spirit. We need faith, the clear text of God's revelation, and the Spirit. Jesus always maintained the absolute truthfulness of Scripture, and this was grounded in the character of the Father, the one whose word it was. Every detail of Scripture was accepted as reliable, accurate, and true by the Lord. It was also taken as sufficient for God's purposes. Although Scripture does not talk about everything, Jesus took it as enough for us to know God, recognize our Savior, understand His work, trust Him completely for salvation, and live a holy life in this world. Jesus' words were powerful and effective, and He held to the unconquerable power of God's written word, which could not be broken. When Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, the Spirit was poured out to guide the disciples into all truth. The apostles were authorized to speak authoritatively in Jesus' name, so that the words of the apostles had all of the authority of the words of Christ. Given the nature of Scripture according to Jesus, people are responsible to respond to it accordingly. We must not merely pay lip service to the doctrine of Scripture, we must live our lives on the foundation of Jesus' words, putting them into practice and obeying them. We accept the words of Jesus because we recognize the authority and lordship of Christ. Chapter 2, The Speaking God. Jesus' references to God speaking and to the words of Scripture as the words of God drew on Old Testament teachings. In the very beginning of Genesis, we see God speaking as He speaks the world He is created. God speaks words of blessing and judgment, establishing covenants and giving redemptive promises. God proclaimed His name and His character, revealing Himself and His ways. When the prophets delivered their messages, they proclaimed the word of the Lord. In contrast to false gods, the living God spoke verbally to His people. Speaking is an act of communication, so God is communicating, revealing God in creating the world and in speaking to people. God is communicating Himself to His creatures, and His communication is an act of self-giving rather than merely the impartation of information. God speaking is the most characteristic action ascribed to Him in Scripture, and He speaks because He's the kind of being He is. God's speech establishes personal intimacy with men and women, and this entails that human beings are created as relational creatures who are designed as communicators. As the image bearers of God, people can both give and receive communications. God is a perfect communicator, and as such, He accommodates Himself to the capacities of His audience. He communicates about Himself truly, but we cannot comprehend Him exhaustively. Both testaments teach that God speaks, that His words can be heard, understood, written down, and accurately transmitted. The testaments also teach that God often speaks through human intermediaries and agents. Like Moses, the prophets, and the apostles, although there are some instances of God dictating words to people to write down and record, usually the relationship between God's words and the human writings is concursive. God providentially and sovereignly created and guided the entire lives of the biblical authors so that they would write exactly the words He wanted written, thus making an exact correspondence between the word of the human author and the word of God. Peter wrote that men spoke as they were carried by the Holy Spirit, so that their words were actually given by God. It is the same Spirit who gave the word and bore the human authors along that illumines the word. He both communicates the word and enables us to receive it and understand it. Christ is the word of God made flesh, filled with the Spirit and the one through whom God speaks climactically and eschatologically. Christ fulfills the previous words of God, and He Himself is the perfection of teaching and revelation. It is in Christ that we see the highest revelation of the communicating God. We do not worship the Bible, but we worship the God whose words are in Scripture. And we receive the Bible as the very word of God, with all that this entails for authority, obedience, etc. Because the Bible is the word of God, it is powerful and perfectly expresses God's character. Chapter 3, From the Speech of God to the Word of God Written. When He was being tempted, Jesus replied to the devil that it is written. Jesus read from Scripture and taught His disciples on the road to Emmaus all of the Scriptures. This appeal to the authority of the written word was carried on by the apostles. It is the witness of Christ and the apostles that the written word of God has the same authority as the spoken word of God. At various times in the Old Testament, we see God giving instructions to Moses or a prophet to write down certain words. The strongest connection is when God writes the 10 words with His finger and then commands Moses to write down all His words. Subsequent generations were to meditate on God's written law and word. it was an enduring rather than temporary witness. Due to their sinful forgetfulness, the people needed a record of God's faithfulness, promises, and warnings. The Word of God was gathered into a collected body of writings, and this canon was recognized by Jesus and the apostles. Whatever the written word said, God said. God's written word has authority and is necessary today for taking the gospel to the world. We need an authoritative record of God's words and works, especially when it is opposed and attacked on all sides. It is necessary that there is a stable written form of God's words to prevent distortion. Scripture is the word of God, but also a human artifact, written by human authors on material objects. All scripture is God-breathed, and there is double agency in its production, regardless of the human and historical nature of the composition of the text. God worked concursively so that the scripture as texts and the human authors who wrote them were inspired. The result is that every word is inspired, that is, verbal inspiration. When translation is accurate and faithful to the original, the translation carries the full authority of the original text. All scripture is God-breathed, and there are no degrees of inspiration in the biblical text. All of it is completely inspired, that is, plenary inspiration. The theological view, known as limited inspiration or limited inerrancy, cannot be sustained, since it posits that some parts of the Bible are inspired while other parts can err. A proper doctrine of scripture holds to the plenary verbal inspiration of the text. Jesus and the apostles recognized the Old Testament canon, and Jesus promised his disciples that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. The New Testament scriptures were also collected as canonical, and because of the Old Testament canon, there was theological and historical precedent for doing so. Even during the times of the apostles, the New Testament itself bears evidence that apostolic writings were being accepted as scripture. Although there were some debates, and the reception of the canonical book was sometimes messy, the 66 books of the canon have full acceptance in the Christian faith, church, and are accepted as the Word of God. None of the autographs exist today, but the manuscript evidence that we have is so strong that we can have absolute confidence that God has preserved for us the words of the original texts. This preservation of Scripture is a gift of God's divine grace and self-communication. Chapter 4, The Character of Scripture, Part 1. Jesus' appeal to the Scriptures always carried certain assumptions about them. He spoke clearly about the truthfulness, reliability, and authority of Scripture as the living Word of God, scriptural participation in some of his attributes. These qualities are not static. The Spirit continues to witness in a dynamic way through the Word. Because God is truthful and powerfully effective, so is his Word. God is faithful and reliable, so we can trust all of his covenant promises in Scripture. In fact, in one sense, the entire Bible is God's covenant document. One of the qualities of Scripture is that it is clear or perspicuous. As God's communication, those who read the Bible in faith can understand its meaning. Since God speaks to communicate, reveal, and be made known, the attribute of clarity is assured. God is successful in what he sets out to do. God addresses his word to all of his people, and it was expected that everyone could understand what he said. His word is a light for all, and even children can comprehend its message. We do not need a priestly caste or school of experts in order to grasp the meaning of the Bible. There is a role, however, for gifted and godly teachers in the church. The doctrine of clarity must not be abstracted from God's redemptive purposes in giving the Bible. Scripture is God's communicative act, and since God is light and it is a clear communicator, Scripture has the attribute of clarity. This does not mean that every passage is equally easy to understand or that we do not need the Spirit's work of illumination to properly receive the message of Scripture. We can grow in our knowledge and understanding of Scripture, and as fallible creatures, we can err in interpretation. Nevertheless, the central teaching of Scripture is perfectly clear. Another quality of Scripture is its truthfulness, often associated with infallibility and inerrancy. It is truthful and reliable in every part. The life of Jesus demonstrates his concern for truth, and he accepted God's word as completely true. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth who leads into truth. Satan is the father of lies and deceit. This attribute of Scripture is grounded in the character of God. His word is true because he is true. God is omniscient, so he cannot be mistaken, and he cannot lie. This entails that every word he speaks is true. This does not mean that God must speak with pedantic, unnatural precision everything he says. Language is true when it functions to convey truth in levels of precision required by context. Although we may not know exactly how every text in Scripture fits together, there are no contradictions, and we need some epistemic humility. God's word corresponds to reality and has internal coherence. It is true, and every part is trustworthy. Chapter 5, The Character of Scripture, Part 2. By the Spirit, God communicates effectively and truthfully in His Word, given His nature and intentions in giving Scripture. Scripture has the property of sufficiency. It is enough to accomplish purposes God had in giving it to us. In the Bible, we find all that we need to know about God, His redemptive plan centering on Jesus Christ, and what we require to live a godly life in this world. The amount of Scripture given in any era was always sufficient for the stage of redemptive history in which it was given. This entails that Scripture has always been sufficient, but it is also a progressive revelation moving from promise to fulfillment. Scripture is sufficient because of God's love and ability to provide us with what we need. Scripture contains everything that we need to be saved and please God, and Scripture is sufficient as its own interpreter. The sufficiency of Scripture was a necessary theological commitment for sola scriptura. There can be no other final authority or court of appeal. Although theology can sometimes go beyond Scripture in illegitimate ways, when properly done, theology is faithful to Scripture, submits to it, and seeks to present its teaching in logically ordered fashion. As with the doctrine of the Trinity, sometimes theological terms are helpful for explaining the truth that Scripture reveals. We see that the words of Jesus were powerful and effective to still the storm, and His disciples confessed that He had the words of eternal life. Jesus' teaching revealed a full confidence in the power and efficacy of God's written word. It was God's word that created the world, and He promised in Isaiah that His word would always accomplish His purposes, never returning void. Paul wrote of the authority of Scripture, and the author of Hebrews called the word of God alive and active, a double-edged sword. God's word is powerful because He is omnipotent. There is an inseparability between the Spirit of God and the word of God, and we find the Spirit always attending the written word. Scripture is always efficacious because it cannot be separated from the Spirit. Word and Spirit together make up God's speech act. The word is not passive, but rather is an active instrument used by the Spirit. The character of God's word cannot be separated from the character of God Himself. Chapter 6, Reading the Bible as a Follower of Jesus. Our doctrine of Scripture does not arise from a few proof texts. On the contrary, it is grounded in a rich biblical theology and the character of God. The incarnate Word endorsed and fulfilled the written Word, and we must have the same attitude toward Scripture that He did. For Jesus, Scripture was sufficient, clear, true, powerful, and authoritative. This means that we must sit under the authority of God's Word, conforming our understanding to it and living in obedience to what God has revealed. True obedience requires faith, and faith comes from the Spirit. We must study with intellectual rigor, but also with deep humility and dependence on God's Spirit. We should read in community and in awareness of church history. Given the gift of grace that Scripture is, we should read it with joy. We should love it. Reading and rereading God's Word is essential for knowing and living the truth, as well as growing in our walk and relationship with God. Copyright 2024, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only and, except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.